welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray as we read your scripture this morning, I pray, God, that it is life. And I pray, God, that it speaks to us. I pray, Father, that we are diligent with your word, that we do not just take it for granted, that, Lord, here in the West, I thank you, God, that you are bringing us into a place of humility. Sometimes we think we know everything, God, and actually in the West we've been shown we don't know everything. We think we're the Savior to the world, and sometimes we don't even have a clue what the heck we're doing. Jesus, help us to take your word and your scripture and to learn it, to memorize it, to know it, to let it flow through us, to let it be the thing that is active and living in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, the West is being humbled. The West is being humbled. We think we know. We think we know how to do church. We think we know how God works. We think we know the left, the right, the back, the forward. And suddenly we're facing a place of humility. For many are panicking about what the gas and electric prices are going to do, what the fuel prices are going to do, and those are not outside of the church, those are people in the church. Now's not the time to panic, now's the time to do what we talk and give thanks, to pray, to worship Him, to gather with the saints, to encourage one another, to be family, to stand together. This is really going to test who we are. You will be surprised at the people who will walk away from the church who said we are believers in Christ, but when the going gets tough, they've got going. They've got going. It's serious. The Bible and the scriptures are serious. Right now, as we sit in here, there's maybe 200 people out there. There's 200,000 that don't know Jesus. Don't know Jesus. I got challenged this week. When was the last time I led somebody to Christ personally? You see, the West has hit a mode of maintenance. And we've actually stepped back from Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit came and said, now be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all we're trying to do is maintain. I want to show you something in Scripture this morning. If we can grab it and apply it, we will move on. When you read Hebrews 6 and we talk about the elementary doctrines, if we don't move on, we're still trying to reestablish foundations and still trying to hold ourselves together. And so never mind fixing or sorting stuff out here, we're not even walking into where we're meant to walk into, which is what we're daily called to do. We're not a people of maintenance. We're not a people of creating the status quo. We are here to walk into places and spaces and change them because that's what the gospel does. We are not here for the ways that the world does the change. We're here for how the gospel does the change. Maybe you need to pray this morning and say, God, I don't want to run with the ideas of the world. I want to run with the ideas of the scripture. So that where I am, I can see change. If there is not change and you're frustrated and you're weighed down and it's heavy and it's killing you, maybe something's not quite right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go there. I haven't really got enough time to go back into the first part of the scripture just to say that my demonstration, my life is a revelation of my maturity. Just to remind us from last week that Paul didn't come and he wasn't trying to be superior in this passage. He was actually saying, I am going to boast because it is good to boast. We've turned boasting into a bad thing. No, boast in Jesus. Boast in Jesus, because when we boast in Jesus, we're not going to boast in other things because we give thanks to him. And I just touched on last week, could it be possible that we could walk in the you know, if not, we are those people. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace, whatever's happening, if not, even if he doesn't come and rescue us, this is who we are. Even if I don't have my luxuries, this is who Jesus is. Can I stand on this? But if you'll open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll go from verse 11 and we'll read down. I think it'll come up on the screen. Can you get to verse 11 for me, Matt, there, if you've got it? For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received, everybody say received. received, I want you to hold that word. Now we have received not the spirit of this world. When the Holy Spirit who is in you encounters the spirit of the world, there should be a clash like oil and water. There should be a moment going, this is not the deal. Because these two things don't work together. But the Spirit who is from God, that is what we've received. That we might, so there's a reason for the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. God is not being so mysterious that only the intelligent people with a degree can understand. The gospel is genius. It's simple. It is so simple. And with the Holy Ghost in us, I don't care if you're the theologian of theologians. I thank God for teachers. I thank God that teachers equip us. But they are not above understanding in what the Holy Spirit can reveal to you and me. Because my Bible says the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives in me and in you. Therefore, I can understand the things freely given us by God. So you have access. If all your theological books went, if you didn't have your the tools on Google to work it out, what's the Greek, what's the Hebrew, and all that, the Holy Ghost is sufficient in you to be able to reveal what God is saying to you. And don't neglect the simplicity that Jesus speaks with you. Sometimes we think we've got nothing to say because it must be up here in the clouds, some revelation we've never heard, and then people go, wow. Do you know what people mostly do with the wow revelation? They forget it by the time they walk out. The revelation that sticks is the simple revelation that we keep going over and over and over. Paul said, I'm coming to you again and again and again and again. Next time you open John 3:16, guess what? It hasn't changed. It's the same scripture. You think, of course it is. Yes, of course. So read it again. The Bible's not being added to. It's not being taken away from. It's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where are we? Verse 12. Go to verse 13 if you wouldn't mind, Matt. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. When you connect with people, understand who you're talking to. Sometimes we're trying to dump spiritual truths on people who don't have the Spirit of God in them. Can the Holy Spirit reveal something to them in the moment? Absolutely. But you've got to understand who we're talking to. Sometimes we're the church, we're talking up here in all these words and lingo and all this stuff. Bring it real and bring it simple. Hang out with people that are just part of everyday life and your jobs and that, and be ready to impart the gospel into them. I think one of the greatest harvests we're going to see is in the workplace. Because more than 8 hours a day, people are spending in their workplace. In their workplace. How can we equip you to minister in your workplace? I want you to answer that question. How do we equip you to minister into your workplace? I don't know. I can come with a bunch of ideas, but what do you think? What do you think? What would be helpful for you into the workplace? Verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Here it is. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. And finally, verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of... You have the Spirit of God in you, and you have the mind of Christ. My goodness me. What else do I need? I've been saved by grace, the Holy Spirit in me, and the mind of Jesus. Wow. Just think about it for a moment. The Bible says we will lack nothing. We will lack nothing. Back in verse 12, I want to touch on a few words, and in the next 20-whatever minutes, we're never going to unpack this whole thing. We're never going to unpack this whole thing. Guys, won't you do me a favor? Won't you just go and open those two doors and just let the air flow? Thank you. We're never going to unpack this whole thing, but I want you to grab onto the word receive. Now we have received. Write it in big letters. I just felt God ask us to just stop here a moment. You see, the problem is not access. It's not even exclusivity. Because you're good looking, you get. Because you are poor, you get. Because you are whatever, you get. It's nothing to do with that. There's no problem with access. There's no problem with exclusivity. And there's no problem with availability. There's no problem. The flow is there. The Bible says we have received. The word there is lambano. Okay, not limbo, lambano. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break, but it's not that. Lambano. Lambano means this, to actively lay hold of or to take or receive. Don't miss the meaning, to actively. It's accept it with initiative. Accept it with initiative. So when I get something, I'm going to do something with what I have. So that was Labano. When they said you have received, there is no expectation that you receive and you put down. You receive and you put in the cupboard. You receive and you put on the bookshelf. You receive and you save in the loft for a rainy day. There's an expectation that you receive in order to use your initiative to do something with it. Why has the Holy Ghost come to live in me? It's a good question. If you can answer the question, that will direct what you've got to do. Why did Jesus save me? Why am I a child of God? If you can answer the question, you will then understand and decide, this is what we've got to do with it. Because if you get the why, you'll work out the how. We are not in some portal waiting to go to heaven. We're not trying to lock ourselves in as the family of God. There is a why behind it. And the emphasis in this thing is on the assertiveness of the receiver. We can receive in one sense, but we also can receive in another sense. At Christmas, you got gifts, some of you, or birthday, that you looked at it and went, oh my goodness me, do these people not know me? Maybe I was the only one. You get that gift, and then you think, what on earth does somebody want me to do with that gift? Like, what does it do, or what is it, you know? And what have you done with it? You've either re-gifted it, some of you I know. Remember to take the card out of it so the next person who gets it doesn't say from you. Or you've taken it to the charity shop, or you've put it on the shelf somewhere, or you're debating your consciousness of knowing that you need to bring it out when those people come over. My grandmother gave me the copper clock. The copper clock of Africa. And whenever she came over, what did we need to do? Get it out. Stick it on the wall. Because somehow in all the conversation, she's going to remember that she bought the copper clock at some point in our lives. God bless her soul. She's gone. Gran, I don't have the clock anymore. It's gone. But what's the point of putting the clock in the cupboard? What does the clock do? Jeez, guys, what does the clock do? Tell the time. If you want to tell the time, stick it on a wall where you can see it. There's a reason behind it. Have you ever tried to teach your kids the why behind when they want to buy stuff? Why do you want that? Because it's fun. Are you going to use it? Of course, every single day. I am going to use that gift that I've been given all the time. Are you sure? Definitely. Is that the truth? No. Because we forget so quickly. We become complacent with it. You see, we can receive and we can also actually receive. But the assumption here in the scripture is that we are actively receiving in order to do something. In order for it to be used. Receiving is on the giver. But when we're dealing with Jesus here and what he gave, he said, I gave it all. There's no problem with the giver. The problem rests with me, the receiver. That I let other things distract me in the world away from what God has actually given me. I don't come back to the only solution that there is to every issue that I'm actually facing. And it's not always how I think the issue should play out. It's how God's going to work this thing out. But if I keep coming back to the very thing that he's given, and I keep meditating on it and working in it and applying it, then I'm actively receiving. I'm lambanoing what he's given me. But I would suggest that the church receives in a moment, wants to play with as a toy and then put down to pick up when it's needed. It's Pentecost Sunday! Woo! that the Holy Ghost came in his power and he deposited in us and he lives in us and he can come in a moment right now, but he doesn't only come on this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. Come wherever you are and touch the lives that he needs to touch. You see, the same word is in Acts 1:8, but you will receive lambano power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. What is the reason for the Holy Spirit coming? It's because we can be a witness. It wasn't so they could have a good time in an upper room and prove to a bunch of thousand people that you're plonkers and we got it. That's not the deal. It was actually to do something with it. Jesus has already given, and I'm asking myself the question, what am I doing with what he's given? Watch this, Matthew 26:26. Now as they were eating, this is Jesus and the disciples, Jesus took the same word there, lambano. He received the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, lambano, eat, this is my body. There was a purpose for him receiving the bread, taking hold of it. He was now going to demonstrate and do something with it. You see, Jesus came as a man to do something with who he was. He received the bread to do something with it. And consumption of something takes place for the purpose of it. And consumption is actually a true sign that we've received. If I invited you out to lunch tonight, and I don't know if there's going to be a picnic in the park or not in the park. We'll see what happens afterwards. But if I were to come over you and I were to give you a coffee and say, here's a coffee, and you stand there and look at it and observe it and watch it go cold, I'm not going to be buying you another one. What are you going to do? You've got to drink it. Especially sometimes if I've even asked you, what do you want? You see, if we could go back and ask the question, and say to Jesus, knowing what's going on, he say, what do you want? We would say, we need a Savior. We need healing. And he's like, I've already given it, now use it. But sometimes we look at it like this coffee and it's steaming and it's hot and then it goes cold and then it becomes a saceful and then we don't drink it. There's not a consumption of what has been given. Matthew 8:17, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took lambano, our illnesses, and bore our diseases. He took them for a purpose. He went to the cross for a purpose. He went there so you and me don't have to go through that. You and me do not have to go to a cross and be crucified in front of a bunch of people and take on the whole of the world's pain and hurt and sin and everything else. We don't have to do that. We don't even know. We couldn't cope with it. But he did, so I don't have to. He took, he received. Bible says, oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He received what was going to take place, and he endured it because he loved you so much. Have you ever received something painful with delight? Oh, I don't know. Most of the time when I receive something painful, I'm waiting to get out of the pain. Because there we go, now Jesus is working in my life. Paul and Silas just began to sing. Not to get out of the prison, but just because they began to sing. Because they received whatever they were in and said, Jesus, we know. Whatever happens here. And they began to sing. The purpose of receiving in this scripture here is to actually understand. Today we're not here for a sermon, but it's about a revelation and an impartation today. Right now, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus, is present in you. And I can say in English one thing, and he's going to reveal to you in your spirit something. Do you know that he's going to teach you more than any teacher will ever teach you if you allow your heart to be open to him? You see, because if he teaches you, there is a better chance that it's going to be imprinted on you and in you than it is if I teach you. I can get some wow lines out of some amazing places, and you'll go, oh my goodness. But don't look at the preacher or the teacher with any sort of awe. Thank the Holy Ghost for what he's doing inside of you. You can go to one of the most boring sermons in your life, and this may be it for you today. And you know what? Don't rate the preacher. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Because there's power in the Word of God wherever it is spoken. Don't look at how it's presented or what cool thing has been said. Because you'll read another book with a cool thing and another book with a cool thing and another. And if I came back to you and said, how many of those cool things have you applied? None. See, because what the Spirit of God takes and you allow Him to take and then meditate and then push into you and imprint on your heart and that, those are the things that you actually begin to apply. The lie is that the enemy comes and he says, you're unable to apply it. He comes in and puts this impounding, what's the word I'm looking for? This impounding, overarching feeling of loss. I think in our nation right now in pockets, there is this feeling of loss. And when we drive past the petrol station, there's this feeling of loss. When we stick the thing in a tank, there's a feeling of loss. When we look at the bills, there's this feeling of loss. When we try and engage in certain relationships, there's this feeling of loss. Here's the reality. And this I'm speaking to myself. If Jesus has given us everything, then whatever seems to be taken away from us, we actually can't lose. We can't lose. Some people may even rip it away from you. But you're no less a person. And you have no less, because my Bible says He's given us everything. I know that's hard, man. Because some of you have lost family, friendships, homes, you can name it, loved ones. Some of you have given birth and your children are not here right now. But I'm not the one who's fulfilling it. It's Jesus coming and saying, I'm everything. And somehow I give you grace in a situation, and I don't get it. And I don't have to go through what you go through, and you don't have to go through it. This is not a comparison deal, because it's the same Spirit of God that meets you and me exactly where we're at, if we learn to receive. And this leads into verse 14, and I'll land it here after this verse. It says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. I'm going to read it one more time, and I want you to just fix, because I think this is going to help somebody. The natural person, when we say natural, what we're talking about there, more concerned of the things of the earth than the things of heaven. Soulish is another word you can use. More physically concerned than spiritually aware. So the natural person does not accept, that word there means to welcome, to be ready, to be receptive, the things of the Spirit of God. For they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. It is possible to be a believer in Christ, but to decide sometimes to live in a natural way. So if we think through our natural eyes, and we see through our natural eyes, and we hear through our natural ears, and we go with the naturalness of what's happening in, we open the BBC News, we do all those kind of things, and this wave hits us and it directs us, then we're not moving and living by what the Spirit of God is saying in us. So I can be a lover of Jesus and going to heaven and still at times swerve this way. And then I continue to swerve this way and don't recognize and bring myself back in, something takes place. Watch what takes place. You see, the primary reason, in a way, that we head this way is because the cares of this world overshadow our intimacy. Our first love. The time spent with Jesus. And a lack of that time in somebody or something in relationship causes us to forget the character of that person, the essence of who we fell in love with, or what that relationship was really about. So if the voices elsewhere become prominent and dominant, then the voices of the intimacy that I want and really desire and really want to go off become dull. Ask yourself the question, you know, who's my primary voices in my life? Who gets to speak in? And then what happens is we become familiar, and I'm going to use Leah's lines because she coined this and she's going to preach it one day. We become familiar with that, or it's just that voice. We equalize that voice. Well, we'll need it and use it whenever we want. And then we neutralize the voice because it doesn't become effective anymore. So Jesus is there. He's deposited everything. We're receiving. Well, it's great. Thanks for the gift, but I'll stick it on the shelf. Our expectation is, Jesus, you know what? You're a giver of good gifts. Come on, I need a gift. And then when we receive it, we have this attitude towards it. Well, it's just Jesus giving in. It's not that. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to stick it on the shelf. I'll pick it up whenever I need to pick it up, and I'll use it whatever. And then we actually neutralize the effect that God has given us the gift, whatever that is, in the moment, long term. So we have full access to everything, all wisdom. And it says the spiritual person, the word there says, judges all things. The word judge has become a dirty word. And most people will flick, well, are we going to be judged one day? Well, that's a sermon for another time. But I want you just to stay here for a moment. I'm going to take a moment to do this. The spiritual person judges all things. If you dig into the word, that word means to appraises. It means to complete a process. It means to examine, to investigate up to its needed conclusion. The spiritual person judges all things. They appraise them. They complete a process. How? By examining, investigating up to its needed conclusion. When you stop and you think about that, if you have the Holy Ghost in you, you are able, whether you've made the worst decision or the best decision, whatever cultural climate you live in, you are able to appraise that moment, that decision, that climate right now through the eyes of the Holy Ghost and say, I want to understand what I'm going through. I want to picture how this fits in. Can you speak to me of, is this right, left, forward, back, how it is? And then I want to walk in what you've called me to walk in. Because there is a conclusion that is coming to that situation. That is what you're able to do. You're able, but what sometimes what we do is Pentecost especially, or as charismatics, we don't want to go through that process because it's a process. Appraising is a process. If any of you have been appraised, you will have sat there, you will have been observed, you will have been looked at, your jobs will be done. You would have gone through a process. Some of you panic in the process. Oh my goodness, they're going to appraise me. Well, if you're doing what you're meant to be called to do, because we've asked the why question, and we know why we're here in order to what we do, then we don't need to panic about it. We walk in and say, hey, I'm walking in everything, because Jesus doesn't condemn us. He doesn't come and judge us so we think, oh my goodness, I haven't got it. He comes to alongside us and says, hey guys, I love what's going on. Let me show you how we can walk in even more. The appraisal's not there to diminish us. It's actually to uplift us. But we flick this scripture. We head there straight away, you know. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue sticking stuff on the shelves. I'm going to continue living how I want, but I'm going to invoke that scripture so I can do what I want, rattle and roll, but hey, it's going to come to completion one day. Actually, there's Bible says God has prepared good works for us to walk in. So we contradict the scripture because we don't want to engage in the process. And when I begin, there is a process of growth and a pressing towards completion. Here's the revelation. If we appraise because we've got the Spirit of God in us, we are actually mature. Maturity is not doing something wrong and then beating yourself up and burying yourself and withdrawing from the people of God and running away from the church and hiding. Maturity is appraising the situation. The Spirit of God is in you so that we can live mature and we can appraise the situation. I hope you're following me. How do we appraise? Well, we've got two things. We've got the mind of Christ and we receive the Spirit of God. Pretty good appraisal tools. Therefore, we engage with these things. And the Holy Spirit is the first. Holy Spirit, I don't know if I've done this well or right, or I think I might have. Okay, let's have a conversation. We engage with the fellowship of people. We engage with believers. We engage with the shepherds that have been put over us. That's how we appraise. We don't appraise locked away and never engaging with somebody. It's impossible to appraise on your own. You actually have to have somebody else in the process. And what then takes place is when we judge the situation right, we know at the end of the scripture it says no one else is there to judge us. So the problem sometimes is that we don't want to appraise well. We don't want to identify. We don't want to understand. We don't want to look at the situation. Therefore, we end up in a place of judgment. Because we pull ourselves into other places on our own, by ourselves, and we allow the judging word of the enemy to start to come. You shouldn't have done that. You're useless. What a stupid decision. You call yourself a believer in Christ? You call yourself a parent? How do you behave like that? Look what you did to that person. And then the judgment comes. And then the condemnation comes. And then the next thing you're withdrawing, and you're a coal who's meant to be in the fire, and you're out there somewhere else on your own, as cold as anything else, and the enemy goes, job done. My Bible just read there in 1 Corinthians, if you didn't pick it up there, no one else can judge you. The enemy can't judge you. Sometimes we're our worst critic. See, when you appraise from the right mindset, the spirit viewpoint, there's a perspective change. You understand who you are. You understand where you're seated. Therefore, you don't blame, try dismiss, bury, find worldly wisdom. You appraise in the right way because you welcome, you receive, you desire the things of the Holy Spirit. But when we don't, if we don't appraise right the situation, we end up feeling judged. We allow the enemy to sit and call it out what he wants you to see. We feel, we think. And we are told in our, as Jesus people, that there's no condemnation. And you see, while the world is waiting out there for the gospel to come in them, some of the church in the West are sitting around picking themselves out of dark places, which I've been in, but I stayed there longer than I need to because I didn't appraise right, or I didn't allow anybody else in to bring me out of those places, or I didn't invoke what the Spirit of God was in me. And so they're dying out there, and we're still trying to maintain something in here. Let's just get, oh, we just want to maintain, we just want to make it through. I think the church is more than that. And so it becomes practical. Why am I feeling this way? What is causing me to think differently to the truth? Why did I react in such a way? Ask yourself some questions. Why? Then bring in the right people. Holy Spirit, let's talk about this. Bring in those that are called alongside you for the season. Bring in those that are called to shepherd you. Great tools to evaluate. Judge the situation. It's like an investigation. And if we don't go through the process, we're showing ourselves immature and we're allowing ourselves to be judged instead of acting mature, which leads us to appraising, which actually steps us into the place where we're meant to be doing for Jesus most of the time. But we have the mind of Christ. Remember those bands, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Throwing tables is an option. You know what Jesus needs to throw tables in my life? In my religious acts, in my mindsets, in my throwing what I've made a relic on some bookshelf. Now think of it practically. Go home and look at your bookshelf today. How many lovely Christian books do you have on there? Some of you have lots, some of you now buy them on your iPad, but how many books do you have? If you're not reading them and you haven't read them for a year, give them to somebody else if they're worth it. Why? Because you've got to dust them every week. For those of you who dust. Such a great book. Yeah, I can see it's so great. You haven't read it for like 2 years. Pass it on. Bless somebody else. This is enough. This is the Word of God. This is full of life. And what would Jesus do? Read it in the scriptures. What did Jesus do when he hit the tough moments? He sought counsel before he even hit the toughest moment. He went to the desert. Holy Spirit said, come, we're going. It wasn't because, you know, the devil was coming at his weakest point. It was actually because he was going to have intimate with his Father. So when the weakest point came, he could face what he needed to face. What would Jesus do? He took counsel with his Father. He strengthened himself in the Word. He had communion with those around him. He fasted and he prayed. And then he threw some tables of religious stuff going on in our lives. Liberty Church, there's some religious stuff that we need to tip the tables over. We need to tip the tables over. When was the last time we led somebody to Jesus? I know there's a process. I understand that. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. I'm going to leave it there. What have we received? We have received everything. Everything. You know, we understand that finances are tough right now. We get that. In the world and that. And we as a church have put some finances aside in an Acts 4 fund that if you need access to finances because you're in a tough situation, you can come and see us and say, hey, I need to journey this. I can't legislate for anybody who sits there and says, well, I'm struggling like this. The church doesn't care. I'm telling you the church does care. And I'm telling you there's a pot of money there if we need to act. That's what I'm telling you. All the people that have sown, and that would be you included, we've been wise to set some aside to make it ready to receive for sometimes when there's a lean season. I cannot do anything about your heart and your attitude towards the thing that has been given. It's your choice to receive and then actively put it in place and actively maybe look at how your finances are. That's your choice. One of the greatest struggles I face is I sit there and I think, and I'm sure people are faced with me, God, I can honestly, and let me be really clear, God has not put me here. Why has he put me here to lead this house? Not because I can maybe talk a little bit, not because I think I've got a bit of a strategic brain, but actually I am called to deposit something in your lives. I can give it, however you receive it, there's nothing I can do about it, but it's the most frustrating thing in the world. I see into some of your lives and I see through the Spirit of God what one change can make. But until I'm invited in, I can't do it. I can't. Because it will be like throwing, Scripture says, pearls. And I've had that where guys have come to me and said, Heath, if you just allowed me in, there was one thing. And I'm like, God, I'm sorry. Because I didn't receive the gift that was there, right there. It's not a matter of importance. It's a matter of what God has placed on somebody around you. And it's not a matter of hierarchy. Because I tell you what, you don't need a position to operate in the things that God has called you. Because we're saints of God. You are full of wisdom. You are full of His truth. You are full of the Holy Ghost. If this has to come through one person, we're done because we created a funnel. This is the church. This is the church. This is the church. Receive. Can I ask you? Can I beg you? Can I beg you? Receive what God has given to you. Receive the place that He's deposited you. Receive the environment that He's put you in. Receive it. That means to grab hold of it and actively do something with it. You may go here and you may go there. The Bible says don't talk about here and there because we miss what's happening today, right now. Right now. Right now. Why don't you just close your eyes and stand with me if you can. If you can't, that's fine. Just stay seated. Why do I want you to receive? Why do I feel like God is saying receive? Because I know in the receiving, we enter a place of maturity. And then from a place of maturity, we don't judge the wrong way. We appraise and we look at. We invite the right things in. Therefore, not to dwell in, but actually to walk out of those miry clay places. And to be life and sustenance to those around us. Up and down, I know we flow. But this is a space of a maturity that I feel like the Lord is calling us to. We're heading towards that scripture where there's no other foundation. But I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you personally right now. We're not in a rush just for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, half an hour, who knows? But won't you posture your heart now and say, Holy Spirit, through your word, through what has been said, what do you want to reveal to me? What do I need to receive? Receive to actively use. Maybe there's more situations you need to appraise right. From your position as seated in heavenly places, as a son and a daughter. Praise the situation right. Judge it right. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Spirit of God living in you. Scripture. He's going to give you pictures. He's going to give you a word for you, for somebody else. Write it down. He's not leaving you out. He's not teaching everybody else. He's teaching you right now. The teacher, the greatest teacher, is at work.
I'll put my faith in Jesus. to the ground. My hope and firm foundation, He'll never let me down. As I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. My hope and firm foundation, He'll never let me down. 'Cause I'll put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. My hope and firm foundation, He'll never let me down. Great is Your faithfulness to me. Great is Your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will praise Your name. Great is Your faithfulness.